Rabosa, everyone, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed your summer hiatus. I want to take this opportunity once again to thank those of you who initiated having some guest shiurim in my absence, and certainly in particular thank those, Joel and Shlomi and the Shraga, who gave the shiurim while I was in Hanina, and Marcel, who gave the shiurim in my absence. Yasha Koach to you. Looking forward to another great year of learning. It's hard to believe this is our fifth year now in this year. And yeah, it's amazing. I still remember in the old shul, our first year, the first topic, it was Noach. 5 years. This is the fifth year of the shir. Yeah, we're starting the fifth year. Haba Aleinu. So, Parsha Shoftim is as good a place as any to start. In fact, in the 5 years, this is the first time we're giving a shir in Shoftim. So, every year we're being mischadish a little bit. We're starting even a week earlier each year. So, in Parsha Shoftim, we know that in general, taken from the outset of the shir, of the Parsha, the theme of the Parsha is leadership. The Melech, Sanhedrin, the Novi, and one of the famous rules when it comes particularly to rabbinic leadership, of course, is the Torah's charge of La Sosur, the idea that one is not supposed to deviate from the words of the Chachamim, Yamin or Smol, right or left. There's the famous Maimar Chazal, which does have variants which seem to be almost at odds, but the famous version of the Maimar Chazal, even if it looks to you as right, they call left, even if it looks to you as left, they call right. We're supposed to have trust and, more importantly, obedience in the words of Chazal. It is worth noting as a caveat, and it's not the topic of my shiur, that even though sometimes, whether it's ourselves, let alone our critics, sometimes people try to make a caricature and confuse us with other religions. We do not believe in Lo Sosur is not a statement of infallibility. Rabbinic authority should not be confused with rabbinic infallibility. Nobody, certainly not the Torah, Chazal, imagined as such. In our morning Omid Yomi shir, we're Be'er Hashem about a week away from finishing Makos, and there's a good chance that the next Masechta we'll do is Horios. The premise of the Masechta Horios is the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the greatest Rabbanim of the generation, making a mistake. A mistake that's so catastrophic that at least a majority of the Jews didn't aver because of the mistake. So, obviously, the notion of rabbinic infallibility is completely against Chazal. Where do you draw the line? How do you know it's a mistake, etc.? That is, needless to say, complicated, and not at all the topic of the shir. But just so that we, as much as we're talking about Lo Sosur, we'll be discussing some of the really fascinating and very famous halachic issues that are discussed and contained. But that's just important to keep in the back of one's mind. The basic question that I want to discuss is the subject of a famous Machlokas Rishonim, and it goes to the heart of the mitzvah itself. And that is a simple question. When we say Lo Sosur, what does that include? When we say that the Rabbanim have authority to do what? To do what? And L'cha'ora, if one thinks about the types of things that we, just matter-of-factly or idiomatically, refer to as Durabanans, or Koach Rabbanon, I think if we take a step back, we generally refer to one of two things. Sometimes we refer to Takonos or Gzeros Durabanan. That's certainly a statement of rabbinic authority. We have to take them, perhaps the most famous examples. We have two of our most popular annual holidays, Hanukkah and Purim, which only exist because the Rabbanan said they exist. The notion, L'moshel, that every one of us can and probably will carry on Shabbos assumes that it's only a Shis Rabbanan or a Vanan, Rabbanan allow the Eruv. Example after example where you have a creation of the Rabbanan, and we accept that as binding. However, there's another possibility, which especially for those who regularly learn Gemara, we encounter all the time, and even if you're not regularly learning Gemara, if you say at least the end of Karbonos, every morning in Pesukei Dezimra, and that is the rabbinic authority to interpret the text. It's a daraisa. But how do we know it's a daraisa? How do we know the Torah told us? Because the Rabbanan said, read the pasuk this way. Sometimes it's somewhat straightforward. Sometimes it's incredibly creative. I mean, just in the Gemara Makos that we were doing today, a classic example, which could be found, you know, every other daf in Shas, where there's a vocalization of the word. If the Balkorei read it differently, we'd all be screaming. If they taught the kids differently at school, we'd all be screaming. And yet, the Chazal say, when it comes to learning the pasuk, we can re-vocalize it, we can pronounce it in a different way to teach us a certain din. That's not a rabbinic din. They're telling you that that's the oraisa. Or another classic example, you have the same word used in this pasuk as is used in the other pasuk, and somehow that creates associations between the two pasukim, which otherwise have nothing to do with each other, and then we can learn one thing from another. Or we have, as we also had in today's learning in Makos, two pasukim that follow each other, which don't seem to have any connection. Okay, so you'll say it's a potpourri effect. And yet, Chazal will say there's something called the smichus. Because one follows the other, it could have been anywhere, the juxtaposition of the two teaches us a halacha. All of these are examples of things which are not dinim derabbanan in the way that Chanukah or Purim are dinim derabbanan, rather the derabbanan interpreting the text. The classic example of the tools which they have to use it are what's known as Rabbi Shmuel's 13 midos. And that's what we say every morning in the Pesukei de Zimra. Like there's Shavan, a Kavachomer, and a Klal Gadol, and a this and a that. All of those, Klal Prado Klal, all of those are examples of Koach de Rabbanan. Who said? Who said that's how you read the Pasuk? Who said that's why the Smichus is there? Who said to revocalize it? And the answer is, that's an acceptance of faith that we have, that their understanding is accurate and binding. So the question is very simply, those are all just facts on the ground. Everything I said now is completely uncontrovertible and certainly not controversial. The question is, which one, the other, or both, which are included in the mandate of the Torah of Lo Sasur? And this basic question is the subject of a very famous Machlokas Rishonim in the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam talks about it in a few places in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Shirashim, in his principles, which certainly makes sense because he's telling you how he's going to categorize mitzvos. We're asking about categorization of the Rabbanans. And he also discusses it in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, which is the Rambam parallel to Maseches Horios, where he discusses the power of Sanhedrin, as well as potentially there also, again, if they would make a mistake. The Rambam tells us the following. I'm reading now from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Koma shetzavinu chachamim la'asoso. Anything that the chachamim commanded us to do. Koma shehizirinu mimenu. And anything that they tell us not to do. Kvartziva Moshe Rabbeinu Allah Shalom b'Sinai shetzavinu la'asoso hu amra pi Torah shayarucho etc. etc. v'amar lo sasur. The Rambam here takes for granted what he says explicitly in Hilchos Mamrim, that Lo Sasur includes, obviously, Dinim Derabanan, Gzeros Derabanan, the Purim and Chanukahs of the world, but, the Rambam here leaves unstated and implicit what he says explicitly there, that the fact that Chazal can interpret the text and that we trust their reading of the text, as opposed to, take an extreme, the Karayim's non-reading of the text, etc. Right? How do you know where to put the tefillin shalosh? What is l'tadfaz v'ninecha? Right? So that's rabbinic, we trust the rabbinic root. How do we know they're right? So that, here the Rambam leaves unsaid, but he makes it explicit in Hilchos Mamrim, that the Rambam is obviously included in Lo Sasur. Here the Rambam, however, says, the Chiddush, it's not just that. It's not just their interpretation of the raisos which we have to trust. You wanted to read the pasuk that way. Chachamim said, no, that's what Lo Sasur is telling you. You got to trust them. Follow them. But the Rambam here says further, the Derabanans, whether they be an Asay or a Los Asay, all of the Derabanans are backed by the power of Lo Sasur. It reminds me always, you know, when you go to the bank and you see that little sign, you know, FDIC insured. Right, there's something stronger standing behind it, giving it its koach. Chachamim said light Hanukkah candles, And standing behind that, who said I have to listen? Ososur says you have to listen. That is Shitas HaRambam. The Ramban, in his Hasagas to Sefer HaMitzvos, extensively, vociferously, and very famously disagrees. And at the end of the day, for our purposes, you could sum up the Ramban Shita in one very simple and l'cha'ora compelling question. Says the Ramban, Avada and Avada, of course, the interpretations, the Masorah, Benechem, V'loban Oseichem, La, all of these are, of course, included in Los Asur. Their interpretation of Daraisas we have to trust. But Dinim Darabanan, what's the koach of Dinim Darabanan? Darabanan are the koach. It's not that Los Asur tells you you have to listen. And after all, says the Ramban, how could it be? According to the Rambam, how do we understand the universally accepted principle of Safek Darabanan Lakula? We're not sure. Did the milk fall into the pot? It didn't fall into the pot. It is you waited 6 hours. You only waited 4 hours. When did I finish the flesh? When did I start dessert? Can I have milchiks yet? I don't remember. So what do we always say? Well, if it's a derabanan, you can be lenient. Safik derabanan lakula. When in doubt, if it's a araisa from the Torah, be strict. If it's a derabanan, you can be lenient. Says Ramban, I don't understand. According to the Rambam, every derabanan is really a daraisa. Because really, if you would violate it, you'd be in violation of los asur. So how could we ever say safek derabanan lekula?
The answer could be that every daraisa, according to Rambam, is a derabanan. Safek daraisa lechumra is a derabanan, right?
That's the Rambam.
We'll talk about the Rambam.
That is true, but it's not relevant. That's the rule of how to interpret sfeikos, which is controversial in of itself, Shef Shmeitzen, against the Torah. This is not about what's the source of the rule of interpretation of Safek. This is what is the koach that I have to do the mitzvah to begin with. The Rambam says the koach of doing the Rabbanans is Los Osir. So in essence, says the Ramban, it's a charade. Right? It's masquerading as a Rabbanan, but really it's a Daraisa. So how? What sense does it say Safek Darabanan Lekula? It's really a Daraisa. That's the famous kasha of the Ramban. Now, what the Ramban does not explicitly ask on himself, although he implicitly addresses it in his Chiddush Mala Torah, but others, most notably Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, ask on the Ramban an equally compelling question, and amazingly, even in the Perush Al Torah, and especially in the Sefer Mitzvos, the Ramban never addresses, and that is, you could turn the tables and say, okay, Ramban, so Los Asur is not the source of rabbinic authority. So pray tell, what is? Right. I'll channel my inner balabos. Rabbi, what do I have to listen to you for? Who gave the rabbis the samchus? Why do I have to listen to them? Because they said? Okay, but I said differently. The Ramban has no, the Ramban never tells you why you have to listen. The Rambam says you have to listen to them because the Torah said you have to listen to them. But according to the Ramban, that's not true. According to the Ramban, it's not true. That it says you have to listen to their interpretations. Okay, but you don't have to listen to their xeros. That's not in Los Osir, says the Ramban. So why do I have to listen? Would anyone say, and obviously this is a rhetorical question, the Ramban would never say it. But would the Ramban ever say a person can choose not to do Hanukkah? Opt out of Purim? Maybe that's the reason why they're such fun holidays, to make people motivated not to want to opt out. But what does that mean?
That gives them the right to make a zeiros.
Who said?
That's their right.
Hanukkah, firstly, doesn't quote it. And that's Hanukkah is a zeiro for what? Purim is a zeiro for what? Nothing. And even if you're right about the zeiros. Now, I want to point out, in all fairness to Alan, he is mechaved into two of the greatest geniuses in halakhic history, the Prima Gadim and Rav Yosef Engel. Both the Prima Gadim and the Psicha Koleles, as well as Rav Yosef Engel and Tzion Latorah, both make that suggestion and say the following. But I want to, with a twist, an ironic twist, they're explaining the Rambam. When the Rambam says that all Darabonans, including their are in Los Asur, he didn't mean all Darabonans. He didn't mean Purim or Hanukkah, totally out of whole cloth Darabonans. He meant those Darabonans, which are a Geder or a Shmira, for the Araisas, so that's really subservient anyway to the Araisa, so that really gets tucked in to the Araisa of either Mishmarti or Los Asur. Now what Alan is suggesting, and we will see the same phenomenon occurring a little bit later in this year, that maybe what they are holding in the Rambam, maybe we could say, according to Alan, that's really what the Ramban holds. And then you might be left with almost no machlokas. And we're going to see that, of course, some achronim, there is almost no machlokas. So far, what I told you is a figment of the imagination, according to some. But that's a suggestion. And even though I don't know anyone who makes it in the Ramban, these great achronim at least do make the suggestion in the Rambam. The problem is that, whereas the Rambam speaks about this three times, and in the three times, in Hilchas Mamrim, Alan, the Rambam is meduyuk, if one could read it into the Lashon of Hilchas Mamrim. The problem is that in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam seems to say explicitly anything that the Rabbanon, the Chacham, come up with is included in Los Asur. And anything isn't just Xeros, protecting you from going over the cliff of a Daraisa, but even totally whole cloth the Rabbanons. So whether it's even correct in the Rambam is very debatable, and no one says it in the Ramban, at least not yet.
On the other hand, how would the Ramban learn the famous Gemara of Maichanukah that says there about the whole concept of a saucer is associated with Chanukah, right?
About the bracha, yeah. That's Rashi, yeah. He would obviously have to learn it differently. So, and a lot of people argue on that Rashi. Some say it was only an Asmachta. But yeah, in Echanami, there's a lot of evidence in both directions. So let's divide the rest of the shiur into two halves. We have two questions. We have the Ramban's question on the Rambam. How could you ever say Safek Derabanan Lekula if it's really a Daraisa, which is masquerading? And we have our question, or the Rabbi Chanan's question on the Ramban. Well, if it's not Los Asur, then what is the basis of the authority of the Rambam? So let's take one question. We'll see four answers to the question. And then we'll shift gears and go back to the Ramban and see three answers to that question. So question number one, how do you understand the Rambam? And we'll do the questions in the order that basically, as of now, the Rambam and the Ramban are on polar opposite, or, you know, opposite extremes. And we'll start with answers that assume that, but as we get 1, 2, 3, 4, we're going to start bringing the Rambam each time one step closer to the middle, to the Ramban. Answer number one is suggested by Rashi and Brachos and Daf Yud Tesam and Beis, as well as the Tashbeitz and the Hagdama to the Zohar Rakia, and say the following. I'll just read you the Lashon of Zohar HaRakia. Mishum derabanan meikara ki asrei. From the outset, when the Rabbanan made their takanas, and they were asmucha haikra, asanu bihaya isura, the nidche mekame kavod abrios. The context there is kavod abrios, but some achronim applied here as well. Namely, the way we would put it in other contexts, this is the b'chi haigavna lo tiknu rule. It's a built-in control. What did we say? A total takana of chachamim, not a gzera, not a siyag, not an interpretation of, let's take a total whole cloth. Let's take Hanukkah, for example. So when Chazal legislated that, which then, when they hit the rubber stamp on it, we then say federally insured against the imprimatur of the Daraisa of Los Asur, as long as the Rabbanan say to do or not to do, Los Asur gives the Torah import. So we ask, then how could you ever say Safek Derabanan? It's always a Safek Daraisa. The answer is, very, very cleverly, they suggest, because in such cases that you're in doubt, they never legislated. We always assume that the Torah told me to do it. It's just that I'm not sure if this case applies or not. So then the question is, I got to do something. What are the rules to do when you're in doubt? But the assumption is that there is a halacha. The question is whether it applies to me. Taj Bates and Rashi suggest, no. Whenever there is a doubt, there is no more derabanan. Chazal were only legislating in cases of vaday. But every time you have a doubt, it disappears. There is no halacha. That's in essence what Safek Derabanan Lekula means. Safek Derabanan doesn't mean we have a right to be lenient and ignore it. It means that when it's in doubt, it doesn't exist anymore. Well, if it doesn't exist, so then there's no daraisa backing it because there's nothing to back. So, again, now, it's debatable whether this is true. If it's true, then it obviously solved the problem brilliantly, and it keeps the Rambam exactly where we assumed it. Yes, all Darabanans, every Darabanan, totally, totally back with daraisa. Just one little thing. In cases of doubt, they never said it. Easy, simple solution. Bye-bye, Ramban. Again, one little point, which is, who said? So they said, that's their chiddush.
Is that the same as saying that the Torah paskened Safek Derabanan Lekula?
Not at all. I don't think. It's the Chazal never legislated in the case of doubt. Okay?
Can that be another answer then? That the Torah paskens Safek Derabanan Lekula.
Except for then you get yourself, I think, wrapped up in the tautology. It's very circular then, though. This, I think, has an advantage over that. It's not circular at all. It's debatable, but it's not circular. I think what you're suggesting would be a little bit circular. Answer number two is a very famous answer offered by the Meshech Chachma on our Parsha. And the Meshech Chachma says, in general, when he's speaking about Los Sases, but at least it's easier to understand in the context of Los Sases, but he doesn't mean it limited to that. He suggests, and he really gets to something which is a famous and a broader question, are mitzvos really Yisurei Gavra or Yisurei Chatza? When the Torah tells me that I have to do something, that I can't eat something, are they just legislating my behavior, or are they somehow imprinting a status to the mitzvah object, or in this case, the prohibited object, in and of itself? So that's a theoretical question. It's nice. It's made for a lot of creative thinking in yeshivas over the years. Says that Meshech Chachma, we can have a pshara, we can split the difference. The Torah is the Torah. Only the Torah has the power and the potency that could say, this piece of meat is inherently treif. The way you and I, you know, idiomatically refer to it, it's a chazer. Only the Torah has the power to do that. Chazal, with all of their power, says the Meshech Chachma, cannot do that. Hashem made something kosher. Chazal could tell me not to eat it. But they can't imbue the food itself with the status. They can only legislate on human behavior. They can only make an Isser Gavra. In context of that analysis, says Meshech Chachma, step two. That's his baseline. Step two is, if that's the case, it's very much about authority, says the Meshech Chachma. And therefore, it's only really a violation of the Derabanan if I violate out of willful rebellion. When it comes to the Araisa, pretend it doesn't say Chazer. Pretend it says poison. If I accidentally drink the poison, does it make a difference that it was an accident? You're still, Chas HaShalom, going to die. Therefore, says, if I'm not sure, is this poison or not? There's two cups in front of you, Marcel. One is poison, one is Coke. You have no idea which one is which. Did you drink them? Of course not. Safek Daraisa L'chumra, says Meshech Chachma, is built on the assumption that the Araisas are poison. You don't play games with poison. When in doubt, you go away. However, he says, even according to the Rambam, yes, Chazal are backed, federally insured by the Daraisa of Los Osor. But what's insured by the Los Osor? the Gavra's behavior, I have to listen to them because of Lo Sasur. However, the object itself is just as kosher as it was before Chazal said not eat it. Chicken and milk, right? It's only a Durabon on chicken and milk. Midaraisa, hefts of it is totally untouched, it's pristine and pure. Chazal told me, behaviorally, a Gavra, I can't eat it. If that's the case, when am I in violation if I'm in essence rebelling against their authority? That's his hanach, that's his assumption. If I eat it accidentally b'shogeg, that wasn't a rebellion. I shouldn't have done it, but it was. It's not the same thing as eating poison by accident. Here, the only issue is my attitude. Similarly, he says, and here's his final punch, when it comes to a case of doubt, of safek, if I eat it, or I do it, whatever the case may be, I'm not doing it because it's a rebellion. I'm doing it because I'm not even sure that it's also to begin with. In a case of doubt, by definition, he says we're not talking about a case of willful rebellion, and therefore, safek derabanan, even according to the Rambam, is lakula. Now let me just point out one thing which some of you may also be familiar with, is that this Meshach Chachma is very, 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 very much connected to a famous Nesivus. Nesivus says explicitly what I implied a few minutes ago, that if a person accidentally, b'shogeg, violates a derabanan, he says you don't need to do tshuva. Why? A shogeg is still an avera. The answer is no, according to this understanding. The whole reason that Darabonon would be an Avera is I rebelled against their authority. But here I didn't rebel, I made an accident. I was just as much an accident if it was chicken and milk or if it's meat and milk. This is your right. It's just as much an accident. But it's very different consequences, because only the meat and milk is poison. Chicken and milk is wonderfully healthy. It's just an issue of behavior and attitude. But here I didn't violate any attitude. I didn't violate any rebellion, because it was an accident. So that's the Nesiva says, there's no need for tshuva, and that's really, it's based on the Meshach Chachma. It's all one idea. They're just each speaking about different components of the same idea. So again, in light of that, we've moved the Rambam a wee bit closer, because all of a sudden now we've said, we've downgraded, in a sense, the koach of the Rabbonans, because they can't make a cheftz of Isser, but to the extent that they can regulate behavior, in Echanami, it's supercharged, it's fully backed by the Daraita of Lo Sasur. Elamai, it's still going to be Safek Darabana Lakula, because it's not a rebellion when I do it for Safek. That's answer number two. Answer number three is suggested. Answer number three is suggested by the Kiryas Sefer, the Mabit, also quoted by the, it's in his commentary in the parish in Chas Mamrim, and it's also quoted, even if you have a standard version, in the Lecha Mishnah. And he says as follows. It's a kind of a formal or kind of a legalistic answer. He says, Lo Sasur is going on the category of the Rabbanans. In general, you want to know why you have to keep the Rabbanans? Lo Sasur tells you have to keep the Rabbanans. That's the klal. But if you get to the specifics, now you know, that's the headline. That's what they say in the speech. But when they got to write the legislation, you're going to look in the fine print. How are they going to actually do it? What's the details that everyone's looking for? So the details, says the Mabit, says the Kiryas Sefer, the Lecha Mishnah, those, each one of them, are the Rabbanan. So on the concept of rabbinic mitzvahs, there's a general daraisa, but each actual specific one, that's because particular rabbanim at a particular time thought it, then a klal Yisrael accepted it, etc., so it became obligatory. But that's only mitzvah rabbanim, and therefore, even though in general there's a notion of lo sasur backing the rabbanim, when it comes to the actual mitzvah, do this or don't do that, that's purely the rabbanim, and therefore, it's no wonder, Safek Darabana Lakula, because the Lo Sasur wasn't said about my behavior at this moment, about this particular mitzvah or aveira. Lo Sasur was said generally about an attitude towards Rabbanon. But the specific mitzvah, the specific aveira Darabanan, that's Darabanan as it sounds. And therefore, of course, you would say, Safek Darabana Lakula. Now with this, we didn't just take a hop and a skip, we took a significant jump closer towards the Ramban. Right? If this is correct, there's really much less difference than we originally thought between the two shitas. This general attitude they argue about, but the specific lamaisa, the maisa mitzvah, they both agree, is only the rabbanon. Finally, to go all the way, mamish, up to the line, in the journal Masorah of Chalek Hay, Zohar of Soloveitchik is quoted with a different answer. Soloveitchik said that the context here is very limited to the question of what constitutes, forgive what could be a cliched term, what constitutes a chefsa shel Torah. Lamaisa, Rav Shechter always speaks about this. If you spend a whole year learning Maseches Erevin, Maseches Megillah, is that bitul Torah d'oraisa? Because you're only learning about the Rabbanans? It's absurd. Even though you're only dealing in world of the Rabbanan, the Torah midaraisa is machshiv. It gives it the status of a chefsa shel Torah. More importantly, following very fundamental question, also in the Horeus world, Zakein Mamre. The Zakein Mamre, the Rebbe said, you have a member of the Sanhedrin who feels very passionately and strongly about a particular halacha, l'kul or l'chumra, makes his case in front of his fellow dayanim, they vote, and he loses. But instead of acquiescing to majority rule, he still is convinced and he goes on doing or not doing, as the case may be, whatever he personally believed to be true, despite the fact that the Sanhedrin formally outvoted him. That is called the Zakein Mamre. In a certain sense, you could, in a somewhat twisted sense, you could admire his principles, but his principles are going to get him killed. It's a very, very serious affair, because again, it threatens the whole system, the integrity of the system. You know, do we allow for all sorts of open inquiry and debate until decisions made? When the decision's made, we got to fall in line. And it's one thing if you or I don't fall in line, who are we? But if one of the people who's assigned, who's given the power of being a representative in the system, the stakes are even higher, that person can't. So that's the Zakein Mamre. Here's the Shaila. What if the Zakein Mamre is arguing on the Sanhedrin over Xerah Zerabonon? Not the Sanhedrin voted on all these things. Not the Sanhedrin voting on how to read the Pasuk and interpret the Daraisa. The Sanhedrin was voting, should we have Hanukkah or not? So this one rabbi said no, and the other 69 said yes. And then, despite the fact that it came Hanukkah, he's still not going to play dreidel. He's still not going to light Hanukkah candles. Is that called, so the term that's used halakhically is has to be a hurrah. Is that a hurrah that constitutes a rebellion against Sanhedrin? So said the Rav, this is the machlokas, Ramam Ramban. Rambam held that even though it's only a derabanan, it has the status of a chefsa shel Torah, of a hurrah, such that that would constitute a rebellion against the Sanhedrin every bit as much as if they were arguing about a daraisa. And on that point, for whatever reason, which is not now our topic, that's what the Ramban was disagreeing with. The Ramban held you only become a zakin mamre if you're arguing about the interpretation or application of a daraisa, which is what the Sanhedrin certainly did. But if you're arguing about a derabanan, you know, maybe they would fire you or something. I don't know what they would do with you. It wouldn't be so pleasant. But that's not the chalos. That's not a zakein mamre. Coming back to the Rambam, though. So that he held it is. But said the Rav, that's all the Rambam meant. In the parsha of zakein mamre, or in some general sense about what is the status of dinan derabanan, they have a status of a chefsa shel Torah, even a daraisa level. And whatever that exactly means, one thing it has nothing to do with, the suffix daraisa or darabon lakula. It's got nothing to do with what's the authority that I'm doing it or not doing it. On that, the Rav assumed, even the Rambam agreed that lo sosra isn't what's guiding. Now we haven't answered the question, well, if it's not lo sosra, what is it? But his point is, that's not even the Rambam, his chiddushes, doesn't believe that that was lo sosra. Lo sosra just meant that they're arguing in Sanhedrin in the Zakein Mamre context. But that you and I should light Hanukkah candles, that you and I should do some other Durabanan, that's not lo sosra. It just means that what we're doing is the Durabanan has the status of a chefsa shel Torah. Okay, fine, great, wonderful. But it has nothing to do with the authority of us doing it, and therefore it has nothing to do with the case of Safek. So if you go with the Rav, Yamamish, except for one little detail called Zakein Mamre, or I don't know, Bitul Torah if you want to be really cute, and every other detail, 98-99% of the cases, is Mamish, no difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. So we've gone from Mamish, the Rambam all the way over here, so depending on whose explanation you accept, potentially bringing him all the way to the middle. So let's use, we have 10 more minutes, let's discuss three quick answers to the Ramban Shita. The Ramban, we said, has a very compelling question. How could you sefek Rabbanu Lakula? It must be, therefore, he concluded, that Lo Sosur only applies to Chazal's interpretation of Daraisa. Lo Sosur does not apply, in his opinion, to complete Dinam Darabanan. So it was Rabbi Chanan, I mentioned, and others who followed whom asked the basic question. If that's true, okay, we grant it. Lo Sosur is not the source. So what is? What's the Mechayiv? What's the source of the authority that I have to listen to Dinam Darabanan? Again, as I say, a question with less sincerity and idealism, which has been asked many times since. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman is like the Avua Dehai Shmaitza. He's the one who, not the only one, not the last one, not even the first one, but he is the one who really made this topic his own. He wrote a famous essay called Kuntres Midivrei Sofrim. I alluded to it before that. He quoted his Rebbe, he quoted Rabbi Chaim, which I, and he quoted others. He has a long essay. It's in Chelik Beis of Kovitz Shurim. He also discusses this in Kovitz Haris, and he also discusses it in a different part of Chelik Beis where he has Haris on the Shev Shemaitza. And there he quotes from another one of his older contemporary rabbis, the Shimon Shkap. And what he says in Shimon's name, and in other places, just in his own name, in the back he says in Shimon's name, and in the Kuntres Midivrei Sofrim, he doesn't mention it as far as I can remember, Shimon, he says in his own name, is the following answer, a very interesting answer. And I'll give you an analogy I once heard from Rav Schechter about this. He says, according to the Ramban, you know the reason why you have to listen to Rabbanan? Because hiskima ledas hamakom. Whether it's with purely human brilliance or with a touch of mystical and divine help with a little Ruach HaKodesh, one way or the other, the assumption is they intuited, they know what Hashem wants. They tapped into it. It's not just what they want. They understood what Hashem wants from us. And it's that, touching on that, obviously very powerful current, which is what is the source of the authority. I once heard Rav Schechter, in his inimitable fashion, give the following mashal. If you had a friend, and actually I can speak very personally, I did this more than once as a member of the shir, and Rav Rosenzweig shir, but probably this happens in every yeshiva for all Rebbeim, like Hanukkah time or Purim time, when you want to buy the Rebbe a present. So how do you know what to buy the Rebbe? How do you know what the Rebbe wants? Or if you're going to be very traditional, and of course, buy the Rebbe a sefer, how do you know what he doesn't have? So what do you do? Everyone does the exact same thing in every yeshiva and every shir, what do they do? You call his wife. Why do you call his wife? Because you call the person who knows him best. You want to know what a person likes? You go to the person who knows him the best. So Schechter said, Mamash Lamash Ma'adoma, that's what Rabbi Chanan has in mind. We want to do Ratzon Hashem. Can anyone know for sure Ratzon Hashem? Not unless there are enough. Okay, maybe not. But who's got the best chance of knowing Ratzon Hashem? The person who knows him the best. And who are the people, I should say, not first, people who know him the best? The Chachamim, who are closest to him in their general tzidkus and in their mastery of the Torah. The Torah is what Hashem told us about himself. So the more someone knows that, the more they can anticipate and intuit what he would want. Lamashal, as he said, the way a wife or some other very close confidant would know what a person wants or doesn't like. That is the answer, again, that's found at least in two places that I'm aware of in Rabbi Chanan's writings. In one place, I think he says in Roshim Shkab's name, and in another place, I think it's in his own name.
That's not a Torah authority. That's a mystical reason.
It's a God authority.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's not identifying a source.
No, there's exactly, that's right. He's not going to have one. He's not going to have one.
No.
And it's a, the Ramban didn't offer one, and even though Alan did his best, I'm not being facetious, Alan did his best effort, for whatever reason, Ramban didn't say that. So the Ramban doesn't quote a pasuk, and I don't, as far as I know, anyone who's aware of sources that I'm not aware of, please let me know now or later, I don't know of any of the Achronim who suggest a source either. They have to come up with other sources, but not a source in the text. So this is a, you know, kind of more of a metaphysical, frankly, a source.
What's wrong with saying just pasuk, smicha and horah, is there authority?
Authority to do what?
To baskin.
paskining is a shaila. That's not legislating. I mean, mamish, I don't mean to be sanctimony or sacrilegious, I should say. But this is like the, you know, the debate lahavda they have now about the Supreme Court. I mean, it's as good a marshal as you're going to get. What is the proper role of a judge? And this is the debate philosophically between conservatives and liberals about the courts, right? The conservative, you know, talking points, I'm not here to paskin or even to give an opinion if it's right or not, but you hear it all the time if you read about this, is the court's job is not to legislate. Don't legislate from the bench. That's a legislator. So they're giving great samchus. They're giving great hurrah. The question is to do what? So to paskin, so that everyone agrees they have the right to do. To interpret the Constitution, to the dinim of Rabbi Yishmael, the midos, everyone agrees. But to mamas legislate, to give you their own mitzvos? Who said they have the right? That's exactly the point. Who said they have the right? So the Ramban, Mestama, assumes that they have the right. No one ever accused the Ramban of being anti-rabbinic. So the question is, but where? I mean, where's the beef? Where?
So we're saying, Hora, according to Ramban, is from Osasur?
What, Paskin? I think everyone... Paskin? That I think everyone agrees to. The Shaila is, what about Dinam Darabon and total Xeros?
So, okay. So you think Ramban says that?
That's not Los. I don't know if this is right. I'm just telling you what Rabbi Chanan suggests. That's one answer. I'll give you two others.
In a similar vein, I heard from a local book not too long ago that the Yom Tov of Chanukah and Purim, which were quasi derisive, was put in the Torah, many were Muslim, and was waiting for the time when it could come out.
I'm not familiar, but I don't think that has any halachic teeth, though. I don't think that has any halachic teeth. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know who says it. I'm curious to see the sources. But either way, that's not a halachic. The chiddush of Rabbi Chanan, again, he's working within the Ramban, is that it has halachic teeth. You have to listen. It's nice to give, you know, to give more authority to the rabbinic holidays. The only one I know who comes close to saying that in a halachic context, so it's very controversial and people jump on him, was the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, where he says that Hallel on Yeshua, is Hallel on saying, on being saved from something. So usually the holidays are commemorating something just more generally. It's an event. But if you're really saved, Mechayim L'maves, Mechayim L'chayim, excuse me, so he holds that there's a Hakar Satov, which is a Daraisa concept, which requires you to thank Hashem. And therefore, even though it happened, obviously, post-biblical, Hanukkah, by definition, can't be a biblical holiday, but the Hallel on Hanukkah, he held as a Daraisa. Now, as logical as that sounds, it's almost too sharp, and in fact, other Achronim jump on him for that. But that's the closest that I know to putting a Daraisa in the Darabanan. Okay? That was answer number one. Answer number two is also found from Rabbi Chanan, and here he quotes, not himself, or Shemesh Shkab, but he quotes Chaim Salvechi, Chaim Bresker. And he says something which is confusing in a sense, and that is, I'll say it in this confusing way, then I'll be more specific. He answers for the Ramban in the identical way that the Kiryas Sefer answered for the Ramban. Namely, what he says is, all you misunderstood the Ramban. The Ramban said that Los Osir does not apply to the Rabbanans. He only meant specifically, case by case, I have to do this, I can't do that. Who said so? Just the rabbis, nobody else. But the idea that in general the rabbis have a role to play, that they have a samchus, that they have an authority, even the Ramban held that that came from Los Osir. In other words, according to him, what's the debate? There is a machlokas, but it's much more narrow now. Everyone agrees that the general authority that they have is from the Torah, is Midaraisa. Then you ask a question in a kind of a legalese sense. What is the status of the obligation to light Hanukkah candles, read the Megillah, refrain from eating chicken and milk, et cetera, down the line? That's a debate. On that, even the Rambam held it was a Daraisa, and the Ramban held that that was a Darabana.
Like Chol HaMoed, for example. Some people say that.
In a sense, right? Okay, in a sense, yes, in a sense, yes. That's an analogy. It's not identical, but it's an analogy. That's an analogy. So when it comes out, I just want to say beautifully, if you the Kiryas Sefer's explanation of the Rambam and Rabbi Chaim's explanation of the Ramban are identical. They're much identical. They're just coming at it from different perspectives. But at the end of the day, if you put one on the other, it fits perfectly. And again, it certainly moves them closer together. It's a debate, but a much smaller one. Finally, going now in the opposite direction, not explaining the Ramban, but independently, the Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David Banfil was a Rishon from the south of France. His sefer on Tzachim is called Chadusha Rabbeinu David. When I was younger and didn't know enough, and I saw it in a pharma store, I got all excited. I thought there must be some Achron. You know, it sounds like an Achronish sefer. Chadusha Rabbeinu David. And I immediately took to it because kids generally take the things in their own name. And I bought it thinking it'd be like easy, you know, Rosh Hashiva Hebrew. And then I realized that it was, he lived a little bit before the Rosh Hashiva's times. He was a Rishon from the south of France. But anyway, Rabbeinu David, in essence, is occupying the Shita of the Ramban and basically saying, Ein Chanami. In theory, there were no teeth. There was no automatic, I'd say, no automatic authority for the Rabbanon. LMI, Kiblu Alai. We accepted it. And we have other examples in Halacha where if any person, let alone a group, let alone all of Klal Yisrael, accept the authority on themselves, then that can become binding. And that's the Lashon. I'll read you just the language of Rabbeinu David in Sanhedrin. I'm sorry, there's two ways. If I'm stuck in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Zayin, Takanos HaChachamim, Einam Torah, provocative term, Einam Torah. So what do you have to listen? She'adam chayev l'leches achareyem if she'had tzibur tali behem v'hein am hanasi shal Yisrael osru atzma b'mutr shalahen v'ein lahatir k'mo she'kibla l'atzma osru b'davar amutr she'chayev l'nhog yisru b'davar. There would be anarchy if we didn't listen to them. That's the hierarchy of our community. If we didn't listen, there'd be anarchy. So mamela, we accepted on ourselves to listen to them in a meta sense. The same way an individual, Shavya Nafshah Tikkat Asura, an individual can accept upon himself a Chumrah. So too we accept it upon ourselves. I think he's referring to individual items. I mean, we did it wholesale, but I think it's not just in some general sense. He means bottom line. So do you have to light Hanukkah candles? Yes. Who said? The rabbis. Who said I have to listen? Maybe, and again, you'll ask me, and I don't have an answer to this question, you know, where was that moment in time, you know, if I could go back in the time machine? It sounds like it, yes. He doesn't say it explicitly, but it's the clear implications.
And that explains why Rove Seabor has to accept it, or else the Gezeira does not.
That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Okay, let's leave it at that. Just to summarize, basically we started off with the Machlokas, Rambam, Ramban, crystallized over the following question, Gzeiros Darabonon, why do I have to listen? Rambam seems to say Lo Sosur, Ramban said, how could it be? What about Safek Darabonon? And then we saw four different explanations for the Rambam, some more extreme, some moving the Rambam towards the middle. Then we asked the question, well, if it's not Lo Sosur according to the Ramban, why do you have to listen? We saw three explanations. The first ones we saw were keeping the Ramban in the middle, eventually moving a little bit farther away, and if you go to Rabbeinu David, then that's the Ramban as we assumed from the beginning. Totally, enechrami, no lo sasur, but you still got to do it because of kiblu alayu. So if you take the first explanation of the Rambam and the last explanation of the Ramban, that's the polar machlokas. Those are the two extremes. But everything else is bringing the two of them a bit closer. A guten Shabbos, and in Shomrei we believe in rabbinic authority. One way or the other.